Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It's the 26th of February, 2015, two more days after a day left of this month, and we're into the third month of 2015. We're a fourth of the way through another year. Things are, it's rapid. And I watched a couple of news programs last night and listened to the people report. And these are intelligent women and men that you know, they're sharp, they're professionals. They do a really great job of reporting the news, and I'm sure you can find that on any channel, any network. But what was unique was after they played these little sound bites, especially one of John Kerry speaking and saying, he says, I can't remember the one phrase he used, but like regardless or in spite of or whatever, the beheadings and the burnings and the slaughterings and the, we have the safest time in our history right now. To hear a man say something like that with the ability to have information about the news and to just be, we're just pummeled with all this information, it's so shocking that you're left speechless. And I watched two guy and gal reporters after they played that soundbite. They stopped. They played it. They knew what was going to be played. They knew what they were going to hear. And just seeing it and hearing it again at that moment brought them to a standstill in their thought process and everything. Because when you hear someone make such an idiotic statement as that, have a jowly-looking, blubbery face looking at a camera making a statement like that, like John Kerry did, you look and think, how much of a sheep is he? How can you say that? Even if you, I don't care if you're left, I don't care if you're right, I don't care if you're a communist, how can you make that statement with what all the information everybody can have, and you say it's the safest time? This is the most perilous time we've ever lived in the history of the United States of America. Now, I'm not talking about the world, because there's always been conflict everywhere, but right here. And what's even more unique is yesterday, and I said this yesterday on the program, when I said that what would happen if we had two or three terrorists, Islamic terrorists, all in a concerned time, at a certain time, you know, from West Coast to East Coast, you know, 3 hours delayed all at the same time, did something in all 50 states and killed maybe 100 people or even 10 people in 50 states. And it would be just, you know, ridiculously horrendous. Yesterday, I said that. Last night on the news, they reported, the FBI reported that they have got sting operations in all 50 states. The last one was Alaska, and that was revealed yesterday. And they have found Islamic terrorists, jihadists, in all 50 states. So, in a speculation on my part, no prophetic utterance at all, just a speculation on my part because of how rampant it has now been verified by the FBI that they have found terrorists that are Islamic terrorists, Muslim terrorists, in all 50 states. It's already here. It's already happened. And for us to think it's not going to is ridiculous. So all that to say that it is even closer, I believe, I don't even have to believe it. Whether I believe it or not, it's true. We're closer to the return of Christ than we were yesterday because we're one day more towards his return. And so as we look at the end of this book that we're looking at in 1 John, it talks about freedom from habitual sin. We need to really understand what that is. We need to be in a condition, in a position of prayer and supplication before God, in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, in every area of our life. And it's so simple. When your life gets more simplified, it's so much easier just to know these are the parameters in which I live. We need to get into a simplified time of prayer and supplication with God. And what I mean by that is to confess our sins. If we do that, and as we've seen, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what He will do. Once we're cleansed from that unrighteousness, we can have we have the relationship to go right before the throne. And here's an interesting small little amount of scripture, verse 18, chapter 5 of 1 John. It says, "We know." Now, I just want to stop there for a second and say, do you, as we read this, put it in your heart, do you know this? This is what we're supposed to know as believers. The name, and basically, it's A Minute with Pastor Mike, but it's Living According to the Word of God in Today's World. It hasn't changed. We live the same today, according to God's Word, as we would 50 years ago, 500 years ago, 2,000 years ago. We know some things if, in fact, we're born again. What it says here again. We know that no one who is born of God sins. Let me stop there for a minute and help you. That doesn't mean you're sinless. What it means is if you're born of God, that is a reference to being born again. You're saved. You're born of God, a believer. We don't practice sin. We don't say, okay, I was saved, and now I was not saved. Now I'm saved. And I used to drink myself drunk every night, and now I'm going to continue to do that. It's perfectly fine because I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. So now I can just drink myself into oblivion and be very comfortable doing it. There's nothing like that. And when you truly get saved, there's a revelational information that is implanted by God's Spirit in your heart, and all of a sudden you start calling into question things you've been doing. That's how these things happen. And you may go to a church and they'll say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, do this. I mean, I don't know. But God writes on your heart the things you go, something wrong with this. There's something wrong with this. I shouldn't do that. That's probably not okay. I don't know. I need to study this out. The Bible says we know that no one who is born again practices sin. Now, that doesn't mean you aren't going to sin, but you shouldn't practice it. And you have the ability to not practice it by trusting in the Lord with you and not leaning into your own understanding. It says, but he who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We do not any longer have to submit to Satan. We do not have to submit to sin. We don't have to do it. Prior to being born again, you're a slave to sin. You can't stop. I'm going to just interject here a little note that was from Ann Graham Lotz. It's amazing. I mean, it's just really cool, the insight, and very simple. I love her devotions because they're just a few sentences long, and they're really, really deep. And I think it's time for deep. Submit to God, she says. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, he does not touch you. We no longer are under his thumb. Look what she wrote. That's James 4:7. She said this. Now listen, this is really, really heavy. Temptation, whether in the form of a serving of birthday cake when you're on a diet, or the bed of your neighbor's spouse. Now, that I'm just going to stop there. When she wrote that, and I read it this morning, I go, wow, a piece of cake and adultery with your neighbor's wife, or husband or wife. I go, man, but in all reality, it's temptation. And it can start very subtly. And it can be a small thing like a piece of cake or an extremely large thing like adultery. But listen to what she says. Temptation, whether in the form of a serving of birthday cake when you're on a diet or the bed of your neighbor's spouse, intensifies through toleration. The toleration leads to a preoccupation of thoughts. And it's not long before we reach out to touch it. At that point, there is almost no turning back. For years I've said this. If you sit in a barber shop long enough, you'll get a haircut. If your plan was to never get a haircut, but you sit in there And I think of the old school barbershops where when I was a kid, I remember going in and all the guys are in there. And quite honestly, at that time, they were all smoking cigars or cigarettes. There was a smoke-filled room, and they had music going. And the guys were talking. There's magazines, hunting magazines, fishing magazines. And I remember them throwing that board up on that chair. And they, you know, tap it and say, come on up, son. And you got to get up in the chair. And you sit up top. And they shave around your ears when you get your, quote, regular haircut. And you can smell that. And you can watch them sharpen up their razor. I mean, I know a lot of you have never experienced that, but... But for those of us who have, that was a growing up experience. That guy's, he's going to shave around my ears. He's going to actually shave around my ears, so I feel like a man. I'm one of the guys, you know. The bottom line is, if you did not desire to get a haircut when you went in, if you sat in there long enough and got acclimated long enough, you'd want to get in that chair. That's just the way it is. So she says it much more eloquently than me. She says the toleration leads to preoccupation of thoughts, and it's not long before we reach out to touch it. At that point, there's almost no turning back. What temptation, now the question is, have you tolerated? Not what has tempted you, and then you've had three through Christ. What temptation have you tolerated? Have you thought about? Have you touched or even toyed with? It's just one more glass of wine. It's just a little harmless flirtation. It's just a magazine at the checkout counter. It's just one date. See, she says, watch out. If you tolerate it, if you think about it, if you toy with it, you're just a step away from actually doing it. So, instead of tolerating sin, turn from it now. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 19 says this, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. You're unique if you're born again, by the way. You're swimming against the stream or against the flow. In fact, you might be swimming downstream, everybody's trying to go up, or you might be going downstream, everybody's going upstream. Bottom line is, you're going the opposite direction. And the world is in the opposite corner. And they're under the power of the evil one, where you used to be and you can recognize it. So if you sit there and you tolerate it, and you just say, okay, pretty soon you're going to be endorsing it. We have pastor after pastor after pastor, unfortunately, denomination after denomination, that are embracing and endorsing same-sex marriage. You know, 10 years from now or 20 years from now, is it going to be bestiality? Is it going to be inanimate object marriage, marrying your home and marrying your car? And I mean, you say, oh, that's ridiculous. Yeah, but did you think there would be a time when churches, let alone the state, but churches would marry people of the same sex, actually join them into, quote, holy matrimony? Think about it. The last verse says this, and we know that the Son of God has come. Now, okay, we know no one is born of God's sins. We know we are of God. We know the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. We know that the Son of God has come. We know that he has given us understanding. Why? In order that we might know him who is true, and that we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Do we know those things? Do you know about them? See, we know about a lot of stuff. Do we know them? We know about things that we've never been involved in. We know about sins that we've never partaken in and probably never will. But when you know something, that means you have experienced it. You have been intimate with it. In the biblical sense, in the King James, to know a woman, if I'm a man and I know a woman, that's to be sexually intimate with her. So when you know something, you're intimate with it, you are involved in it, you don't just know about it. It's interesting how he ends this letter, how I'm going to end the program for today, and we'll see you back here on Monday, which I think is the 3rd, 2nd, there you go. 2nd of March. Is that the Ides of March? Beware of the Ides of March. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to be into March on Monday. But listen how he ends this letter. This is almost makes me want to cry. Really. As goofy as you think that might sound. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. Idols are anything that is a substitute for God. Anything that is a substitute for God. When you devote yourself to that as your God, in other words, you submit to that thing, that other, that person, that other system, whatever it is. An idol isn't just a wooden thing or a gold thing like the Oscars that were just handed out that are fake. If those are solid gold, those people would be doing great. It's not just those. That is a type of idol. But it is anything that is a substitution for God. It can be your position. It can be your health. It can be your money. It can be your history. It can be anything. And it says from idols, not just something you do. Having one glass of wine is not a sin. But saying it's just one more glass of wine after you've had five, well, you're already in trouble. Okay? It's just harmless flirtation. There's no such thing as harmless flirtation. There's no such thing as that. It's just a magazine at the checkout counter. Folks, I'm not sure if you're aware of the situation, but the swimsuit issue of Sports Illustrated is a really odd situation. The cover of that magazine was more exposing than many of the other magazines that we know are pornography. And I'm saying, so it's not just a magazine at the checkout counter. It's not just one date when we think about dating the way people date. And that's not how it is. That's not the situation. You need to watch out when you tolerate things that the world embraces. Why do we say that? Back to verse 20. We know the Son of God has come and has given us understanding in order that we might know him who is true and that we are in him who is true and his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The verse just before that says something interesting. We know, again, one of the knowings that we know we're intimate with, we are intimate with the fact that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. We're intimate with God, and the world literally is intimate with the evil one. So you are in the minority if you are a Christian. You're in the minority. The majority of the populace of this earth is definitely in the power of the evil one. Before you came to Christ, you were underneath, as it were, you were underneath the evil one. That's just the way it is. You are in his control and under the power of the evil one. We cannot get to a place where we begin to tolerate temptation. Now, let me tell you something, one last little part here before we close for today. The toleration of temptation is not just for you. You may say, that's not for me. You may say, because we look at that little note that Anne Graham Lotz had said that I shared with you, first of all. And it is a personal thing. This is about us. You know, it's just a little harmless flirtation, what you would do. And you need to step away from that and realize, you know what? You're only one step away from doing it. But if we tolerate it in other people, now that doesn't mean you go and get your nose in everybody else's business, but we can't say, oh, that's okay. You can't say, yeah, that's fine. I'm glad that people are doing that. I'm not going to do it. And if that's what they want to do, that's fine. I may disagree with it, but that's fine. It's not for me. So we don't take a stand. And that doesn't mean you go out and you hate people. No one's ever going to be hated in the kingdom of God. And you can't expect people that are under the power of the evil one to understand what it is to be under the power of God, because they don't. And they're not going to think anything that they're doing is wrong. They have different lines that they draw. We don't get to draw the lines, people. God is drawing the lines. And he's told us some things. we know that if you're born of God, you're not going to continue to practice sin. We know that he will keep us from the evil one and he can't touch us. We know we're of God, and we know the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. We know the Son of God has come. We know that he's given us understanding, and the reason he did is so we can know, that we can know him who is true, so that we're in him who is true. This is the true and living God in eternal life. He has told us these things so we can, who believe in the Son of God, can know, verse 13, that we have eternal life. Intimately know. So when you hear someone say, oh, gee, I hope I go to heaven, well, I'm hoping that God will bless me, well, I'm hoping that I get into heaven. When you hear those kind of comments, you know that they don't know the scriptures and they don't know the Lord the way we do, or the way someone who's born again does. And if you're listening to me today and you don't understand that, I would really pray that you would get a clue and say, okay, there's something more to this. You know, there's something more to this than just kind of acknowledging or knowing about things. I know about the Bible. I've read it. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, well, I've read it. And you know what? Majority of them are lying. They've read at it. They know about it. But they haven't read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. They haven't read through the Bible. If they had, and there was comments made about the earth and what it looks like from space, they would be able to go back and look and read Job talking about what the earth looks like from space 3,500 years ago. You know, 3,500 years from when astronauts are able to be in the space station and look back, or in a capsule and look back and describe this orb with water confined yet in a round thing, hanging in space, just hanging in space, not moving to the left or right or flittering around, but right there, you know, right there. It's not bouncing and water falling off. And No. How did Job describe that 3,500 years ago? God is good all the time. I pray that what you do is spend some time in the Word. Spend some time in the Word this weekend. We'll see you guys back here on, again, the 2nd of March, Monday, to be able to praise God together as we get into his Word and learn how to live according to the Word of God in today's world. You guys have a wonderful day.